Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 at 7:06 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. And welcome to Monday, the 28th of June. What can I say? You know, except that, you know, how you're a little bit tired on Monday morning, say you're a little trouble moving around and getting it started. Well, I was having that problem until Bob walked in. Bad Bob. No, it's not his shirt this time. No. Nima. Nada. It's not his shirt. It's the bright red color that's covering his entire body. Well, at least the body that I can see, and even beyond that, I don't want to. So, Bob, how'd you get so red and neon, signish looking?
We spent the weekend down on Lake Orville with the auxiliary, and it was a lot of time out in the sun. Met a lot of nice people, did some good stuff on the boating safety, and we didn't have to haul in any intoxicated boaters' vessels, although we did bring in a couple of disabled vessels, so it was a good weekend.
Now, wait a minute. Now, obviously, you do not follow the rules of the Coast Guard, you little Coast Guard, you. Which is protect your skin at all times.
Well, the reflections, yeah, they got me. I just put out enough. I did not
just
flatter
say,
enough.
Just say you're right.
You're right.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bad Bob. You know, I hope you feel better. We're going to spray you down with you know, AMSOIL or something. Gosh, you look so hot. And speaking of hot, here she is. Linda.
My morning segue. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know.
Speaking of hot, we have one part of the air conditioning in our house that's not working. That's
what?
Hot.
This thing, you know, it doesn't do it when it's 80 degrees or 85 degrees. It waits till it's 106 and it goes, hey, I'm not going to work today.
Yeah, I'm going to blow out warm air. Thank you. You know, today's going to be a high of 103. And very clear, getting sunny and hot, obviously. We're going to have 100 on tomorrow, and then as the week progresses, we're going to go down in temperature. Wednesday is going to be 94, Thursday 89, and Friday 87. So
a veritable cold snap. A veritable cold snap. Bob, just sit over there and boil, okay?
Well, we had a wonderful weekend, and, you know, starting off, of course, well, let's start with last week. Of course, we had the wonderful honor that Carl received down at Capitol, and we'll tell you more about that later. We'll have pictures on the website when they come in. We'll make sure we post those on it right away. But you know, Saturday and Sunday, really, we got a chance. You know, it was one of those weekends we had a chance to really work around the house since we haven't in about a year.
Well, yeah, I mean it's been about a year. So we were trying to catch up. I was going to sneak out, though, and take my bike up to Far Side Run. But as I was getting on the bike that morning and realized that I was still sitting in the driveway asleep at that point, that it was probably not a great idea. So
we did music up in Anselmo Friday night.
Colonel Tim Garrity was
absolutely
here Friday. And for those who had the opportunity to meet him down at Tobacco and Brew, I think everybody had was impressed by this man. Yeah, he's, you know, he doesn't pull punches. He tells you what he thinks. He's written that book, Peacekeepers at War. And just and here, this is why this book is important. It's the fact is that the rules of engagement kept changing. And right now, you're going to see Petraeus, when he goes up on the hill, they're going to talk about rules of engagement in Afghanistan. Here were the peacekeepers trying to stay between, trying to stay neutral, but things kept changing, but their role, their mission didn't. So this led to a disaster. You could see it
confusion.
Coming for well, confusion at the higher points, and but also for, you know, when they have when they tell Marines, in this case the Marines, this is what your rules of engagement are, and then the conduct of the war around them changes, and yet those don't change. So right now we're having those same problems in Afghanistan. On these rules of engagement, if they see a sniper and it shoots him and he drops his weapon, they can't shoot at him. If they see him planting an IED and the guy with the wire is walking away, they can't do anything about it. You know, I'm not quite sure exactly why these rules of engagement are there, but these are things that Petraeus is going to address when he's in Congress this week. I hope he addresses them. He said he was going to. You know, it's one thing to put our people in harm's way by with rules of engagement that allow them to protect themselves. I'm not talking about wholesale slaughter of innocents, just indiscriminate fire in the crowds. Absolutely not. Somebody takes a shot at you, drops the weapon. Well, hey, should have kept it in your hands. Maybe it could have deflected the 50 calibers that are coming your way. But the problem is that who's in charge? What is the mission? Does Obama know? Well, we're going to talk about that and many other things and happy things. We have a big week this week. We're going to be talking about what's going on up in Trinity County. Now, you may think, well, you know, Shasta County, you know, but Trinity County is, of course, our very close neighbors, and they're having a war going up there. You can call it anything you want, but it's the beginnings of a war. We're also going to have some people down here from Siskiyou County talk about things that are happening up there that are disasters in the making and that could affect us. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is
Free Fire Radio. Why don't you turn us on there, Bob? Thank you. Okay.
Monday morning.
Bob got sunburned and fried his brain. Yeah. Blame it on the computer. You know, when you push the button, the computer comes on. Okay. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
I've been jonesing for a little Johnny Cash. I've been jonesing for some different bump music. I was thinking about that over the weekend. But, hey, what do you got there? Or what do you have there? Excuse me, darling. What have you got in your hands there?
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellites, right off Airport Road down from Burrito Bandito. Doug Tooley, the owner, guarantees his work. He's been serving local customers since 1985. On Mondays, if you are the first 20 people to bring in your old remote, you're going to get a brand new one. That's right, on today, be one of the first 20 people to bring in an old remote. You know, the remote that your dog got to, the one that dropped into the water, the one that your child flushed down the toilet. You can get a brand new one. Now, Doug's a veteran, 82nd Airborne, and he does great work. That's B&T Satellite off Airport Road, just down from the Burrito Bandito. And his phone line is 244-1988.
Hey, we're taking your call, 605-4567, on this great 28th day of June. What do you want to talk about? I mean, we've got lots of things to talk about, but it's open line, so tell us your thoughts. What happened to you over the weekend?
You know, the nicest guy came in. You know, we were talking, that stopped us. But one of the things he says, should I call in? I went, well, yeah, we like that. You know, it's an open line. Feel free to share. So,
yeah, and again, thank you. We this weekend, it was wonderful. We went out and just, you know how it is. You run out and you have a quick errand and you have to get this and get that. And we were stopped different places that we went. And you know who you are. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words to keep us rocking, keep us going forward. So, you know, we're here for you, and that's why we always say, you know, do email, do call, come online, interact with us. If you don't want to pick the phone up, you can always email me, Linda at KCNR1460.com. And you're just waiting, Carl. I can tell. You can push your sleeves up. What do you want?
Well, there's just some things. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's not a new story, but it's, you know, how is it that a welfare recipient gets to go to the casino and use the ATM to withdraw $1.8 million over the last 8 months? State-issued debit cards withdrew more than $1.8 million in taxpayer cash on casino floors between October 2009 and last month. Okay, you know, Schwarzenegger's jumped on it and all that, but, you know, is this an indictment of what some of the, you know, is this an indictment of the system that they, you know, that cards can be used to go to gambling establishments? Now, I didn't know you could buy milk and bread at gambling establishments. Maybe you can. Maybe it's out someplace else, but I think they said these were done in cash machines in the casinos. Now, you know, I think that when things like this happen, that you need to hold the person responsible who let that go. You know, because what they're saying is that the card company says, oh no, that would never happen. Well, it did happen. It happened, and so since you made a mistake, maybe you should pay back the taxpayers that $1.8 million. Be even better if you could find out, and you should be able to find out who used it in casinos and just say, hey, look, I hope you enjoyed your time at a casino because that's the last card you're getting from the taxpayers. Paying taxes is not one of my favorite things. I see the need for taxes. I see the need to defend our country, take care of our infrastructure. I see that. I don't see giving money to people who have made lifestyle choices that when they make their minds up that they're going to make a lifestyle choice and use a drug, not work, do many other things, then guess what? You don't need the cards. You don't need my money. If it's something that's happened, if you know you're genuinely looking for a job, you need retraining job because your industry has gone overseas, thank you again, politicians, then that's fine. You know, I don't mind that. I just don't like giving away money to people who have made the lifestyle choice and now I'm paying for it.
Okay.
Either for their kids or for them or you know, and this is just indicative of what goes on around here. It's just $1.8 million out of all the billions. It's $1.8 million. How many of you out there, my friends, wouldn't like to have $1.8 million handed to you? I think we could do something with it besides waste it.
How do you implement or help people to want to do for themselves and not get on a government-assisted program? It's a free ride, you know. I understand if you have children to feed, you know, but there was a day when if you were on welfare, it was shameful. A and B, when you were on welfare, it was a short period of time to help you get back on your feet. We understand that, totally get that. Everybody, there, that things happen. But I can recall being not too long ago, I was with a girlfriend of mine, and I'll tell you a story about that. We were in Nashville, and she had a teenage daughter. She was supporting her teenage daughter and, you know, working as a server or waitress, however you want to say that, server, and was a songwriter. And so she goes, hey, come take a ride with me. And meanwhile, we're drinking Chardonnay. We're living in the same place. And come with me, take a ride. So I went with her, and we went around to this place that there was a trailer, and she got a government check. I said, what's that? She said, well, I'm getting the last of my supplement for, you know, for my daughter and I. And I thought to myself, well, you know, why are you drinking Chardonnay? Why are you going out to restaurants? I mean, I didn't know. I was kind of in shock. It made me feel different. I couldn't help it. I just thought, where did you, in your evolvement as a person, think that that was okay?
Well,
anyway, am I just, like, judgmental here? Am I wrong?
Well, there's people that need assistance, yes. But people that make choices to take that money and spend it on wine or going out to restaurants instead of on more basic things, yeah, I think it is. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
In today's...
Oh, you heard me. Oh, yeah. Man in Black.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. It is 7:25 on a Monday morning, June 28th.
You know what I liked about Johnny Cash? I'm going to go to the weather. Johnny Cash was just the real deal. I mean, there's a guy who, you know, kicking and gouging in the mud and the blood and the booze. That's the man. There's the man who really, I think, represents so much of America. The struggles, the ups, the downs. Somebody who dealt with his demons, had a love of his life. Just a humanitarian in many ways.
No, you're right. The man in black.
It's going to be 103 today.
It's going to be hot. I hope your compressor on your air conditioner is working better than ours. Why does this happen? It always happens on the day it's 106. You know, the latest Wall Street Journal, NBC News poll, has really brought bad news for President Obama and the Democrats. For the first time in his presidency, it seems like more Americans disapprove of Obama than approve of him, according to the poll. 62% of the Americans say the U.S. is heading in the wrong direction, the highest level since before the 2008 election, and just 40% give him positive ratings on his ability to handle a crisis, down from 51% in January. So I guess that means the North State was in the lead again. Some people knew that 6 or 7 months ago. Here's some of the things that's really causing Obama the problems. The economy. Presidents are viewed as being in control of the economy. However, we've got unemployment that's hovering at 10%. You know, you're looking at the double dipping into housing. You're looking at stock market volatility that goes up and down, big swings. And Obama doesn't seem to be able to get his arms around it. So that's one problem. The Gulf oil spill, hello, day 70. And now we've got a hurricane that may be coming to push it into shore. We've got other things here. It's finally reached Mississippi shores. You know, it wasn't his fault. It was not Obama's fault for this explosion that caused this thing, that this oil rig disaster. But his actions have given people a thought that maybe he can't handle a crisis. That in the middle of all this, he's having tea with Paul McCartney and singing Michelle. You know, but he should have been down on the coast, or his representative should have been on the coast. Spin till you drop. What is this? Every other nation, the G20 nations, are all saying, let's cut back. Let's cut the deficits. And what's Obama saying? No, spend more, spend more, spend more. That's the way you cut the deficits. I haven't quite understood that yet. In image. You know, we talked about this last week. Image, perception is reality. He's suffering from this image problem. Where everybody, you know, he is so aloof and so cold about things that he doesn't care. And really, in reality, it may be is he doesn't know what to do. You know, we've got Middle Eastern people. People throughout in other countries that are saying they've lost confidence. We've got a president that bows to Saudis, bows to other, you know, like the emperor. I mean, why? We've never had a president do that before. So now we've got a perception problem there. We've got a perception he's weak. And here's now it's coming out with the CIA saying is that the Iranians may have more nuclear fuel than we thought, and now the Russians are upset. You got North Korean, sinking a South Korean ship. Would you have seen, I mean, you know, say what you will about Bush. Did you see him doing that then? Sinking ships? I don't think so. The Chinese wouldn't even let him be on TV when he was over visiting the first time. What a huge insult. Does he realize that? I don't know why people are surprised. It's just the fact is that it's not just the Republicans. 17% of Democrats disapprove of Obama's job performance, highest level of his presidency. We got to take a break. Call on the bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, it is 7:35 in the morning.
Currently 69 degrees.
And going for 103.
That's right, going to be hot. And tonight clear with a low of around 67.
Hey, it's June 28th today. It's not her fault.
What did I say?
Somebody in the next room groaned out loud when you said that.
Oh, well, you know, it's that older station over there, you know, so... What can I say? Hey, you know what else, too, is besides being 103 today?
Yes.
All right.
It's 106. So,
okay, let me warn everybody one more time. I know you're going to think that, what's he saying this for? Because, and I'll tell you why, because we keep finding it. Don't leave your animals in the car. Yeah, roll down that window a little bit, but you're in there that, you know, that car gets 20 degrees or more hotter than the outside temperature. So imagine that little dog or cat or whatever you have, or kid, that you leave in the car when you go in and cash those checks at the casino, that you leave them out in the car that, you know, you can kill them. So, again, we just warn everybody. that this is this is a real danger, and I'd love never to have to say that. I would love never to have to say that, except every year they find it happening.
And Carl and I want to extend our deepest sympathy to sister and brother-in-law who lost their beloved pet after 16 years. And, and people just want to say that, sometimes people think, oh, it's just, you with your dog. For some people, their pets are like their children. And I think there's a great loss of a critter that's, been a very big part of your life. You kind of plan your vacations around who's going to take care of them. And their little personality in your inner life. So I know that they had to put their dog to sleep yesterday, and I'm sure that was a wow. I mean, I want to just tear up thinking about the feeling of what it is to say goodbye to a beloved pet.
The one of the headlines in the paper for Record Searchlight is the beginning of a class war based on economics. You say, I didn't see that. Oh, yeah, you did. It was about Congressman Herger having money. And I think it was something to the effect that although the value of his assets, this is Record Searchlight, took a dip during the financial plunge, he has more assets now than he did in 2004. According to financial disclosure statements, Herger reported between $3 million and $12 million of assets. That's $1 million more than reported 5 years earlier. In an election year, it's a figure that invites political posturing from both sides. Well, yes, Record Searchlight, that's why you put it on your front page. It's so you can do that. So here's what we're having is, okay, the Herger family, whether you support the Herger family or Wally Herger and his politics or not, so he should be punished if he's successful financially. So would it be better if he lost a lot of money during this time frame? Would it be better if he went into bankruptcy? Or do you want somebody there? I'm not talking about politics, my friends. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about somebody that can run a business and he's a successful, he's successful at it. Okay? He's also a congressman. Just because he has been a success in his business, he should be punished for being successful? I mean, have we come to that, this is bad. He was successful in business. Hey, guess what? Linda and I want to be successful in business. Bad Bob wants to be successful in business. I want to pay more taxes. Yeah, I do. I want to have to pay more taxes. I want to be successful. So to go out to be outraged because he makes money, to me, is wrong. That right there is the wrong way to do it. But then again, the Record Searchlight is launching the attacks against Wally right now. Is the story true? Yeah, story's probably true. I'm not even saying that. It's probably well researched. But the point is that you don't start, class warfare based on economics. We've already seen that. It doesn't work. I don't like it. And I won't, and I won't support anything like that. All right.
Let's go to the phones.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Oh, we just lost. And as Bob wrote down, somehow it's become a sin to be successful.
Hey, Tex, give us a call back.
Yeah, we lost you on that one. This is calling about, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, why do some groups of people get an entire month to be remembered and other people don't? I think we need to talk about that. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
You did mention you wanted different bumpers.
I love it. Yeah.
Hey.
I always think if you're just turning the radio on, and your alarm's set to be a... It makes you just like, wow, it's Monday morning and... Yeah, it was 103 yesterday or 106, and yeah, it's going to be 103 today, and
it's
currently 70 degrees, and because your day is what you make it anyway. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We had a great night doing music there, jazz on Saturday, on Friday night. Check out our website. You'll see the music rundown. We've got about three dates in July coming up. I know you've got something, and then I have something I'm just waiting to tell you to share.
Well, you know what? I just saw another little headline here, in the, you know, in Record Searchlight, and it says, and they're talking the World Cup, Argentina sends Mexico home. I was wondering what Argentina did that we could do to send Mexico home. I mean, really, what did they do? How could they get Mexico to go home? We can't get Mexico to go home. Mexico comes here.
Is that what you had to say?
Well, no. Oh. No, I didn't. There's more. Good morning. It's 7:45. It's the 28th of June. And I have a question. And I, you know, and don't take this wrong, but why is there a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender month? I mean, I understand about being proud of who you are and where you come from, but an entire month. I don't see an entire month commemorating veterans. Am I wrong about this? Is there a month for veterans? You get a day for veterans. How about parents? How about a month celebrating parents? You know, moms and dads, parents. Why not teachers? Maybe they do teachers. How about doctors? How about people that just, you know, nurses or, you know, hospital, you know, a month, a whole month? Why does this group get an entire month, a proclamation that started with Clinton and Obama proclaimed June this month with the parade for the last Sunday in June, and they just had the parade, you know, and if you got a chance to look at the videos out of San Francisco, they were quite amusing. But why a month? I mean, the group, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, I'm sure are parts of the other, you know, veterans and parents and all that. But what makes them more special? What makes this group more special than just, say, veterans? I don't understand. I mean, there's more veterans than there are. I mean, if you're looking at it for a voting block, there's more veterans. I don't know.
When we were at the Capitol in the rotunda, they had six posters of, on each poster were two people that were in the Senate or Assembly that were either, I don't know, they were representing the gay population. I don't know if they were gay, but they were representing the gay,
well,
transgender.
Well, there's nothing wrong with this.
No,
it just, it to me is, why is there an entire month?
Yes.
For this. It just doesn't seem to be, it doesn't seem to be fair. I guess, you know, I shouldn't say fair. Fair is not a word we should use when it comes to politics. I mean, if we had people that cared enough about it, they'd make it happen. But they obviously don't. So, you've got something, though.
Fair is not waiting in line for a G4 phone for 2,000 people and Justin Bateman, because he's a celebrity and somebody spotted him, took him in front of the line.
Oh.
You don't think, I'm surprised I didn't start a riot. Like, why should I not have to wait in line? I mean, there should have been a back entry. Sorry. Hey, I'll tell you what an interesting,
You know what, Bob? I'm going to tell everybody, I'm going to tell the thousands of people that are listening exactly what you said a few minutes ago if you don't watch it. And then you try to explain that when you get home to Brenda.
Okay, in 1954, a set of Marilyn Monroe chest x-rays from 1954 were sold Sunday for $45,000 at the Hollywood Legends auction at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. They thought maybe they would fetch about $3,000, but they sold for $45,000.
X-rays of her chest?
Yeah. Other Monroe-abilia that sold included a chair from her last photo shoot that went for $35,000. Auction items also included from other actresses a pair of earrings worn by Kate Winslet in the Titanic. They sold for $25,000. And a dress Audrey Hepburn wore when she starred opposite Fred Astaire in the musical Funny Face that fetched $56,000. But, you know, I suppose if you're a collector, I could just see, you know, those chest x-rays up on your wall framed of Marilyn Monroe's chest.
I wonder if there's any outlines of John Kennedy's face there.
Oh, stop
okay.
it.
Just wondering, you know.
Take it to a tacky place.
Oh, it wasn't tacky. It was, the fact is that this is why Elvis Presley. One of the reasons Elvis Presley is worth like 10 times as much now as he did the day he died. People care. People want nostalgia. People want things like that. Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly, News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 7:53 in the morning. Good morning, June 28th. Carl Lindebach, 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in tobacco emporium in the state. Espresso Joe's, 30, 40 different types of coffee, and they can fix it 60 or 70 different ways. I mean, you can't find the kind of coffee that you like, and they're going to fix it for you any way you want it. There's no other place to go to. Anyway, then you've got the community room, where you can have your coffee. It's got free Wi-Fi. You have your meetings there. Joe and Shelley, great Americans. Support this community. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We have, okay, and as Bob pointed out during the break, okay, so far we have alienated people that are on welfare using their using their cards in casinos. We've hit Obama about how his ratings have slipped dramatically. We've gone against politicians and wondering why there's a month-long transgender, bisexual, gay, et cetera, month, and not one for veterans or doctors or parents. And we've also talked about Wally Herger and the front page of the Record Searchlight having all this money. And we said, so what? So what else is there that we can, what group can we alienate, or what other things can we go into like that, Bob?
Well, there's just, it's a target-rich environment if you want to get people upset. There's people who live for getting
immigration.
Upset.
Immigration! I have not hit on immigration today. Hallelujah. Okay, here is Arizona, which is already having, you know, as every state is, they're having problems with their economy. They're having to pay for, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not a million, of illegals that are there. They start passing laws that the federal government should have passed to protect themselves, to get rid of these people, to get rid of illegals, lawbreakers out of their state. And what happens? Our country, our president, our attorney general says, I think we're going to take on Arizona in the courts about this law. And they didn't even have the guts to say it out loud first. They let Clinton, our Secretary of State, say it in a foreign country. Say it in a foreign country that they're going to go after the immigration law that Arizona has written. And there's something wrong there. There's something wrong when, instead of sealing the border, instead of trying to help our citizens, that they don't. They are not helping the citizens of along the borders in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California to seal the borders. What are they doing? They're hampering it. They're hampering it. And let me tell you something. Here's what's happening in Arizona. Three of the Democrats that have supported Obama are in deep trouble. Deep trouble when it's going to come to these elections. They signed off on his bill on money. On the appropriations, on the bailout money. They've supported him on the health care issues. And what's happened, he turns around and he goes against the people of Arizona. You know what you need to do? Replace those people that supported Obama with ones that support your state. Now, we're kind of far away from them, but I'll be glad to send this to them, and we do stream. But the point is that instead of boycotting Arizona, we need to support Arizona. We need to go down there and visit the Grand Canyon. We need to buy things that say made in Arizona. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything made in Arizona besides sand, but I'm sure there's something. You know, they need our support. They don't need for us as a nation to attack them and to have Sacramento, the capital, voted to boycott Arizona. I mean, like they care. You know what Arizona should do is boycott California, not send any electricity over here.
Remember where the Colorado River comes through.
You know what? Here's my thing on this immigration, the whole thing on immigration. When this congressman comes back and says that Obama said to him directly, I'm not going to do anything about the borders because it won't get the people to the table to negotiate immigration reform. Here's immigration reform, my friends. Send illegals home. Okay, we may not be able to do that. But what we could do is have their employment checked so that they can't just get a job. They've got to have their employment. They've got to have their ID checked. They've got to have proof that they are here legally. No problem with, we have no problem with people that immigrate to this country illegally. We know people that have done that. It's the people that don't, that come here, have children that become United States citizens, and that's just another whole show right there. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's it.
Deep
you know,
breath,
I mean, just,
like
you know what? It's just, you know, the whole thing is to see, it seems like our government's turned against us at times.
And so, that being said.
Yeah.
You know, 4th of July is coming up. It's time to, you know, do some celebrating of what it is, the independence of our, you know, country and all the years that people have, you know, fought.
Greatest country on the face of the
earth. But on July 10th in Dublin, Georgia, it's the 15th annual Summer Redneck Games. A one-day extravaganza.
Ready to send in a 50-man contingent there.
I think we can bring it up here. Features a mutt. This is what it does. It features a mud pit belly flop contest.
Oh, well, Bob, there you go.
Okay, this one you guys will love. An armpit serenade. Watermelon seed spitting contest and redneck horseshoes in which toilet seats are thrown.
Yeah.
Get rid of that yard art. I knew there was some reason it was hanging around. A coveted prize trophy is awarded for each of the day's events. A half-crushed, empty-mounted beer can.
Woo. Okay, well, you know, it's one of those things that they had on the recording. Says they were driving down the road, says, hey, hold my beer can and watch this. So,
well, I remember seeing lots of yard art.
I shouldn't say that. You know what, but that is funny.
That's just one of the places in the country. You know, we have many more to share with you.
Armpit Serenade. Hey, our guest is here. We're going to be talking to him as soon as we get back. Carl Indebott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
This is KCNR, shout to Redding.
Fox.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. It is 8:06 in the morning, June 28th, and what a day it's going to be.
Going to be high today of 93, currently 69 degrees. We're taking your phone calls, 605-4567, or you can email me at linda@kcnr1460.com. Right now we do have a caller on the phone. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning. Carl, Linda, my colleague Colonel Cook is still almost giddy about having the chance to meet with you and talk Marine for about a half an hour on the assembly floor.
This is Assemblyman Nilsson, and good morning. And you know what, Colonel Cook and I just happen to know a lot of the same people, so it was good.
You walked the same beat too, my friend, and it was a wonderful day to honor you and so many others. You were all in collective good company down there. A whole lot of heroes, Carl, that were being acknowledged last Thursday.
The ones that I met, the veterans that I met, the World War II, the Korean, the Buffalo Soldier, the wounded from Afghanistan and Iraq, those are the heroes. They stood up for this country, and you know you can't say enough about them. So,
no, sir, it is well that we recognize them.
And Assemblyman, thank you. We had such a wonderful time. My parents were there to take us on a personal tour and see the chambers, and it was a great honor. Again, thank you for your time and your commitment. We see how hard you really do work.
Well, it's a labor, I guess, for sure. And some days the biggest problem is the frustration, as we have now such frustration dealing with the budget situation and the lack of anybody's sense of urgency that needs to be done right away. That's really eating at my innards a little bit, but we will push on and prevail. I took an idea down to the governor's chief of staff last Thursday that could be a deal maker. is something that does not require any taxes and gives some hope. So we'll see if that can't break some initiate some momentum.
That would be nice if we could get the budget on track and it wouldn't cost us much more money. I don't know if anything can be done that's not going to cost us some money.
Well, no, Carl, but there's been some significant reductions in the budget, some $20 billion last year, and that's a good place to start. There's enough that can be trimmed, and as the economy rises on the natural, and the revenues to the cities, the counties, and the state increase based on that, then certain things can be restored just a little bit. But we can't go back to the profligate spending that happened before. You always are going to have to keep the range tight.
Well, you know, I see that, you know, the big thing that comes out is they're working on plastic bag bans, so they can ban all the plastic bags and then start charging people for the paper bags.
Well, I kind of went ballistic on that a couple of weeks ago, that was the most important thing. 3 weeks before that, the most important thing for an hour and a half was banning smoking on state beaches, and that took an hour and a half of the debate on the floor. Why are we even talking about these things? Why aren't we talking about only the budget? That's all the legislature should be dealing with, is the budget.
Well, that's what our listeners ask, and that's what we ask, is, you know, our problems all stem from the budget. Why are we doing anything else but that?
Well, even worse, there was the 2 weeks 2 weeks ago, three different bills to limit our gun rights. And four bills to harm charter schools, to ruin charter schools, really, all under the great virtue of reforming them. But as you know, that would mean to destroy them in terms of some people's point of view. So that took an awful lot of time. And then the three gun bills, the open carry, the long gun, and the lead shot.
Right.
And we put up a good fight, but those didn't prevail. But glory be, you had a great decision of the U.S. Supreme Court today.
That's right.
On the right to bear arms in Chicago, that the federal overrules the state and the local. And that's really encouraging. The Second Amendment is important. But keep advised, that was a 5-4 vote. That's why these Supreme Court appointments are so very important.
Well, you know, it was a 5-4 vote, but what it did was it reaffirmed what the Constitution says, is that we have the rights to own guns, own weapons. We have the right to have them. And, you know, the idea that you can take them away just because you live someplace is wrong. It's, and this is one of the things that concerned me about Obama. And he says, oh, I believe in the Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment in Rawlings, Wyoming may be different than the one in Chicago, Illinois. I don't quite understand that.
Yes,
but
sir.
Then again, there's other things that I don't understand about the present administration.
Well, let's just say we press on, and that was an encouraging way to start our week.
Carl. It was. and thank you so much for giving us a call, Simon.
Listen, you folks have a wonderful, warm day up there.
Yes, thank you so much.
103 today, Jim.
Amen. Bye-bye
okay,
now.
All right.
Thank
take
you.
Care. All right, we got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading. You're listening to KCNR 1460. It's currently 8:14, 70 degrees. It's going to be 103 today, so get out your sunblock and make sure you're ready to drink lots of water. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway.
Hey, our guest today is Cameron Middleton, and Cameron is on the Reading Planning Commission. And also is the owner of River City Java. So good morning, Cameron.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, there's a lot of things that are going on, Cameron. And
we love having you on, by the way. You've that great energy, that youthful, like, I'm here, I grew up here, and I'm here doing business, and I love to empower people, and I'm involved in the city council and what people are saying and doing. And, boy, if our audience could only hear what goes on at the breaks.
Yeah. Well, it's probably not a good thing because because Bad Bob is, you know, would have been arrested twice for perversion and No, I won't say a word. The things you said to Brenda. Okay. But Cameron, okay, we were talking about, you know, in the Planning Commission, you know, the last time we kind of talked was the agreement was made about about doing some changes so people, you know, for buildings and things. And you found out afterwards, the Planning Commission found out afterwards, they were talking about the Turtle Bay Hotel.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, what other things have happened now? I mean, are we moving forward with the hotel? Is that what it looks like?
Yeah, currently the hotel has been given approval by the City Council as a concept. And they have also renegotiated the lease for Turtle Bay for the hotel. Because the past lease did not include a provision to be able to allow commercial uses such as a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Now it does. So now they can sublease that ground. They'll be subleasing the ground from Turtle Bay, who leases it from the city at no charge.
Yeah, no charge. So whoever builds there, whoever that may be, they then pay Turtle Bay X amount of dollars to be able to have their hotel there.
Correct.
And so Turtle Bay doesn't give any of this money back to the city, though.
No, they keep that money. What Turtle Bay is indicating, and their projections are that $300,000 will go to the city primarily in transient occupancy tax money and sales tax money that will be generated annually through the hotel. And they also believe, or they also are indicating, that because they are setting up a for-profit arm of their, you know, their nonprofit, they're going to be with this hotel. They will be able to take the proceeds from the hotel. The profits will go directly towards Turtle Bay.
Wow. Aren't these some changes?
They are. They're significant changes. They've indicated that the reason they want to do this is to be able to get off the city's public dole. They don't want to be able to have to go back to the city council for future funding, which up until, I believe, next month, the city has routinely given them, you know, in the amount of six figures. It's changed
but
a little
been,
bit.
But that's been cut off, though, right?
It has been cut off.
Or does that start? Or does the cutoff really start this time?
This starts this time.
Yeah, they were still getting it before.
Yeah, there's a new fiscal year starting in July.
Okay, and that's when the money was cut off.
Then. Correct.
Okay. And they volunteered, and Turtle Bay said, hey, look, we know we're having problems here. We don't, you know, don't give us the money. They, you know, they voluntarily did that before it was stripped from them. If it would have ever been stripped from them, I don't know. But they did voluntarily give up that stipend, I believe.
That was my understanding. I think
that's
there were probably some internal talks between the council and Turtle Bay.
Well, I'm sure, because Starman has talks with people all the time that we don't know about. But, you know, hey, that's Kurt Starman and Mike Warren. Not Mike Warren's fault, just because they were confidential and they had to be released later and all this. Yeah. Okay, so we're giving, we've given land that belongs to the city. Well, we've subleased it, I guess, to Turtle Bay, who then is subleasing it to whoever the hotel is.
Right, and so that, again, that money from that sublease will go strictly towards Turtle Bay. So the city is hoping to get some returns, again, in terms of sales tax and transient occupancy tax.
Is that over and above what Turtle Bay takes from the pot of money than what they're paying Turtle Bay, right? So they're paying Turtle Bay, whoever the hotel is, we're going to pay you X thousands of dollars a year, hundreds of thousands, whatever it is, to have the property, and then the TOT, all that is a separate pot of money that goes to the city.
It is a separate pile of money, and you know, there's always been a lot of debate as to what you can do with transient occupancy tax money. There are those who say, if we've got some excess, let's give that back to the general fund. Good example, the city council recently agreed to close down the Convention Visitor Bureau, different from the Civic Center, just for clarification. That's the building right there on the corner, right by the Chamber of Commerce, right as you come in off 44. And by closing that building, they were able to save about, I believe it was $750,000, actually it was about $900,000.
It was $900,000 that was costing them a year to keep that open.
To do that.
Right.
And so they, by getting rid of that, then they were able to free up some manpower, free up some space, and I don't know what they're yet going to do with that building. But then they have agreed to do, I believe it's $750,000 a year to subcontract out with the Shasta Cascade Wonderland to have them do the marketing for the city.
So where does somebody buy their tickets now? They used to go to the Visitors Bureau to get the maps and what about, is there a film commission, or is that has that been omitted, position?
I'm not sure the specifics on that. I believe at least that the plan is to move the visitor center over to Turtle Bay.
Okay. Well, now this is a good place to take a break. We have to take a break here. We've got people on the phone lines. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Cameron Middleton. We're talking about what's going on at Turtle Bay and the city and about the new hotel and the Visitors Bureau. Join us after these messages.
Hi, this is Don.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:24 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Cameron Middleton from the Rating Planning Commission. And let's go to the phones. John, good morning. John,
good
you're
morning,
on KCNR.
Carl. Good morning, Carl, Linda, Dad, Bob, my friend, and Cameron. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Cameron, for being an advocate of the people.
Thank you, John.
And standing up when you should. I really do appreciate that. I'm very concerned about this House of Mirrors that we're talking about. The city gives Tampa Bay, or Turtle Bay, the free lease of land. Then Turtle Bay subleases this free, granted land to a hotel chain for profit. And they use these fees to get off the city dole. But they're talking money that the city should get, which means they're still getting city dole money. Seems to me they're just laughing at the people here, laughing at the taxpayers, the citizens of Reading. I wonder how many law enforcement officers could be kept on payroll if the hotel lease payments were made to the city as they should be instead of given to Turtle Bay. I don't understand how we do them a favor of providing them free land, and then they sublease it to somebody for a payment and feel they're entitled to the money. It doesn't get them off the dole. We're giving it to them on the dole. This is wrong. This whole program is wrong.
Well,
I'm in favor of the hotel, believe me, I am. But I think the payments for that hotel land should be going to the city. We need it.
Well, John, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. And one of the things that concerned me a little bit were the negotiations for this new lease agreement. I know that some of the members of the council had asked for some other concessions, if you will, on this lease, one being a portion of the proceeds, which is something I actually advocated for, going to either the general fund or even perhaps one of the things that was brought up was shifting some of that lease money over to the Civic Center to try and save the Civic and put some of the money into the deferred maintenance and capital improvements
into
that are necessary
program,
there.
Absolutely.
The other was the 5 acres to the south of the hotel, which I believe it was Councilman Bassetti who asked that be given back to the city so that the city would be able, since it wasn't going to be utilized for the hotel, to try and have that 5 acres for the city's use to do something else with, both which were turned down. So it really didn't seem to me like much of a negotiation or much give and take.
So who turned down? Who turned it down? Turtle Bay?
Yes, the Turtle Bay board said it would that both of those issues would be deal breakers. Therefore, in the lease negotiations, they agreed to neither charge any lease money, which would then go to either the general fund or to the Civic, and also not to give up the 5 acres.
So,
Cameron,
and John, I see what you're saying here is that we have given them the land, they've kept the other land, and what we're getting out of this is the TOT betting on the fact that sometime in the next couple of years that there will be TOT.
There's another step to this I'd like to ask about, if Cameron can take a minute to respond to this. I understand also that the lease for the rodeo grounds is up for renegotiation, and they've refused to negotiate, and that Turtle Bay is going to pick up that land as well. Do you have anything to say about that, or do you know about it?
A bit, John, and that is coming up soon, and I know that the Rodeo Association is weighing their options. They're looking at possibly trying to stay, looking for something else. My guess would be there's probably going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if there were some improvements made to the Anderson Fairgrounds, and perhaps trying to move at least some of the events maybe down there, if not the whole rodeo grounds. Tough to tell. And in terms of Turtle Bay acquiring that, that's not a done deal. I'm sure that's something they would like to do. One of the things I've actually been advocating for and did actually spoke at the last city council meeting about is doing a master plan for that entire area, doing it publicly,
getting for the entire Turtle Bay area.
Turtle Bay Civic Center Rodeo Grounds area.
Opening that to the citizens to have some comment and some effect upon the changes that are taking place?
Exactly. Rather than a few private parties doing this piecemeal, actually have a forward public commission or a group, a committee put together, possibly of commissioners, city council members, citizens, to be able to weigh the options, look at it again. You have that CVB building that's now vacant, that 5 acres to the south. Turtle Bay itself, you've got parking issues, transportation, ingress, egress issues, the Civic itself, the rodeo grounds, and what possibly might happen with that, and the other leaseholders to the south. You have the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce, KRCR, some others. And I think we really, in terms of a long-term vision for that area, rather than having a few private parties do this piecemeal, we need to, as a community, weigh this, lay it all out on the table, no backroom deals. Let's just take a look at the whole campus down there and figure out what we want to do.
What a great idea this is. Gee,
I
and it makes
that
sense.
Is a great idea. And, you know, I think that
doesn't
some
have
of
a chance.
Some of the lobbying authority of our past city manager needs to be looked at, because there is just too much influence there to the city from his past experience and connection with him.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't, John, you know, you're probably right, but it doesn't have to be like that.
No, it doesn't, and, but it certainly reflects that way, especially in the last city council meeting when he made his presentation very late in the meeting so that there was hardly anybody left there. I think the public is really being blindsided on this.
Well, that's because that's the way that the staff puts things, they line things up.
They do indeed.
And so
I'm sorry to take so much time.
That's okay. We've got a break anyway. Okay, thanks a lot, John.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, got about 30 seconds left. You know, I want to come back and talk about the planning for the Turtle Bay area. That is absolutely true. But other things that we're talking about that's coming up for the city of Reading, you know, because we see a lot of new businesses starting to pop up around here. And just wondering, you know, what the next plans are. Carl and Linda Bach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after the news.
1460 AM. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Phone lines here are 605-4567. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning.
Good Monday morning.
It's 8:35 in the morning.
That's right. Today's the 28th of June. You know, before you know it, we're up on the 7th month of the year. July is just around the corner. Can you believe that?
4th of July. It's on our way.
What happened?
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by, and speaking of the 4th of July, and speaking of freedom, Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, Man's Last Stronghold. DC Tim and the Man in Black. You want your hair cut? That's where you go. They're barbers. They're not stylists. That's right. They're not stylists. They're just going to give you a great haircut, great price. They're not going to do anything to your toenails or your fingernails, no matter how much Rich Bay begs for it. They are there to cut hair. They are there to cut hair. They're not going to blow dry you. They're not going to do that stuff. Man's Last Stronghold. And they do give good haircuts. And, you know, and where we kid around a little bit, and I kid about Rich Bay. He's a good close friend of mine. I mean every word of it. Now, you mentioned Free Fire Radio. Nothing's going to happen. They're just going to say, hey, we listen to them too. Then they're going to give you a great haircut. Cypress Square Barbershop. Hey, our guest is Cameron Middleton, City Planning Commission. And, you know, you're just opening up all types of things here, Cameron, that...
Not cans of beans.
You open up some cans, a little whoop,
yeah, a little
as
whoop.
We call it.
Yeah.
We're talking about... The big thing, though, is trying to have a... You know, actually thinking ahead and putting together a planning group to plan what happens down there in that great... piece of real estate down there by the Civic Center in Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay is now going to put a hotel up there, and they're going to kind of like, I'm going to summarize everything that was said in the first 30 minutes, was they're going to sublease that to a hotel. The hotel is going to pay them a lease for that land and be able to operate there, and then the city gets the TOT, money they make on putting people in the rooms and taxes like that. That's what we get out of it in Reading. But there is no master plan for that whole area down there, the Civic Center, the rodeo grounds, all the other ground around there. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's why I think it's really something that is for the citizens and for the community to be able to get involved in this. And to do a master plan, I think we can do this at pretty low cost as well. I think you can have commissioners, citizen volunteers, other people that would love to step in and do this and help plan it and help do it. And you really need some vision down there. One of the main issues, too, is transportation, ingress, egress, and parking. If you're going to have hotels, civic centers, museums, rodeo grounds, some of these other things, theaters, restaurants, some of the other concepts people are talking about adding, the difficulty that you're going to have is we've only got one way in and out. We also only have limited parking in that for that entire facility. And that's why I think we have a comprehensive plan. We can really address some of those things, allow it to grow better, and allow some of these other really neat ideas to be able to come to fruition.
Yeah, it should be more than just one entity down there controlling everything.
Yeah, and I think and that's why it requires some public input. I mean, I've always just been an advocate for trying to keep as much out in the open as possible and really trying to encourage transparency. And I think if we by doing something along these lines, we can really do that and really come up with a great area down there that everybody can use.
Do you believe transparency has been the watchword of the city staff?
Not at all times. I think things have gotten better in the last, say, 10 years, 5 years. But there still is an element of, I think sometimes you have some agendas people are trying to get through. Sometimes people are also trying to take the path of least resistance. And sometimes that might sound fine, but when it really comes to the public's money, public's property, you need to be transparent. Even if it's going to cause a little controversy, you have to get through that.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, the big words is the public's property, the public's money. And to have anything that's done that's not done with perfect transparency is not correct. Because, you know, and it's just, and it may be done that they, you know, they're not thinking about a certain thing, or, hey, you know what, we're going to do this first, you know, to, you know, so we can get the, you know, so we can put these ideas down and all that. But then when it comes out later, it looks like people are plotting, and that's just the word, plotting, to do something without the public knowing about it. Now, when the city went over to Wonderland, whatever that thing's called.
Yeah, Cascade Wonderland.
Yeah, Cascade Wonderland Association to do all the convention bureau type of tourist information and all that. And the city said, okay, we were spending $950,000 or something like that a year. Now we're only going to spend $750,000. We've saved $200,000, and they're going to take care of all of this. Who is the Wonderland, Shasta Cascade Wonderland people?
Well, Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association, who's getting part of this new $750,000 money, not all of it, is a quasi-private industry group that are the regional tourism promotion arm for this area. They are not specifically associated with the city. They're under contract from the city. They're essentially a nonprofit.
But who runs them? You know?
There is a board of directors. Bob Warren, who was the city's executive, or he was the executive director of Shasta Cascade Wonderland. He wore two hats and was also the director for the city's tourism office. They have eliminated his position at the city tourism office. He's now just the full-time executive director at the...
He's no relation to Mike Warren, though.
No relation.
Okay.
No relation.
I just want to make that clear for people who already, you know, they're starting to dial. No. No relation.
To the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association, which, again, is the regional promotional arm. A lot of people thought those two services were redundant, specifically the Community Services Advisory Commission. That's why they felt it was appropriate to close down the Convention Visitor Bureau. And then that way, all this money, they could subcontract out the money to Shasta Cascade Wonderland. And there's another group as well, and I'm not sure the specific breakdown of these monies. And I believe it's the Reading Tourism Group, which is a newly formed organization. I'm not really sure specifically who that is. But some of this money is going to Turtle Bay as well as for marketing of the Reading area.
So we're paying Turtle Bay from another pot of money to do marketing for us?
Right, and to be specific, this is coming out of the transient occupancy tax, not the general fund, and so they will be, along with Shasta Cascade Wonderland, at least 25% of these monies have to be spent on promoting the Reading area, not just, you know, the greater Northern California area.
So 25% of the $750,000 we're giving to them has to be done, has just to be to have people come to Reading. nowhere else.
A minimum of that, and also I believe in there specifically there are performance clauses. So they actually, some of this will be tied to the transient occupancy tax money. So if we see an increase in tourism, then
they get more money.
They might be able to, and if there's less, they might see a reduction.
Might. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Cameron Middleton. We're talking about just any number of things that are, you know, affect us, my friends. They're, you know, the where's our money going to? Where's the $750,000 going to? Who's really going to control the land around the convention center and along the river, a very lucrative piece of land? Join us after these messages.
Are you a brick house?
Love it.
Oh, Carl's like waving. No, I want to enjoy the song. Good morning. 8:46 in the morning. Good morning, Reading. If you're listening to KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Today is June 28th. If you're just tuning in, good morning. And it's 84 degrees. Yes, the temperature is rising quickly. It's going to be 103 today, so be sure to get your sunblock, because we have somebody in the studio today that didn't wear enough over the weekend, and you don't want that feeling. So
and he's grumpy. Okay, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite right off of Airport Road, just down from the Burrito Bandito. They've been serving local customers since 1985, and on Monday, that's right, Monday, the first 20 people can replace their old remote with a brand new one on Mondays. You know, the dog chews it, your child dumps it down the toilet.
It falls in the wash.
You can, well, yeah. And so you can get a brand new remote. That's Doug Tooley. He's the owner down there. He guarantees the work. He's a great guy to work for. He's a veteran, 82nd Airborne. And the phone number there is 244-1988. That's B&T Satellite. Our guest is Cameron Middleton, and we're just kind of really getting into this part about money that's being spent. And do we really know where the money's being spent at? Now, I could just be completely off on where the money's going and how much is really being spent for Shasta County or for the city of Reading. But let's go to the phones first. Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Mr. Cameron. I'd like to know how many people are on staff for the Cascade Wonderland, and are they paid staff? And then how much money does the executive officer make?
Those are some good questions, Jim, and unfortunately I'm not aware of some of those specifics. I know it's a relatively small staff. They have a website. Again, Bob Warren is the executive director. There is a group of nine counties and I believe some cities as well that pay into a fund essentially for Shasta Cascade Wonderland, and all of that money is then used for the promotion, for the advertising, and then for the salaries of the executives and the other employees. So it's really it's a voluntary contribution, if you will, from the local governments that's given to Shasta Cascade Wonderland in order for them to do that. And it really is up to the discretion of the individual governmental bodies whether or not to continue that funding, although most have found it beneficial in the past. And generally speaking, I've always thought the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association has been a good organization that has done a lot of good things. I'd like to see them do a little bit more web-based advertising and some marketing, some other things. But they generally do a good job, but it really is, like you say, it's not exactly it's a private entity. But it does receive funding from, again, specific governments, and that's all on a weighted scale. So Reading, Shasta County, the larger jurisdictions pay more. Places like Tehama County, Trinity County, Siskiyou County pay significantly less.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is here is that when they build a hotel down there on that land down there, and the people that own property that have hotels up on Hilltop and places like that that paid a lot of money to build there, and this is going to fill up probably pretty big because it's down by the bridge. How's it going to affect the profits and the income of the people that are paying taxes and that are private industries?
Difficult to tell. I've actually spoken with some of the hoteliers in the area, specifically ones on Hilltop Drive, regarding this. They really don't, the ones that I've spoken with, don't really seem to be that concerned with a hotel down there being competition. They wonder about its viability because it isn't right off I-5. But they don't seem to really have a concern regarding that. And that's one, again, that's shared by at least three different hoteliers that I have spoken with. The interesting part is that it was with the transient occupancy tax money, and this is the part that I've wondered with these projections of this $300,000, is that if people are going to this hotel, would they be not therefore going to another hotel? Turtle Bay has made the argument that they're going to be using a new reservation system, which is a large nationwide, actually international reservation system, so they'll therefore be bringing people into the area that would not have otherwise come here. Whether or not that's going to work, and to quantify those kind of dollars, we're going to have to wait and see if the project is approved.
Hey, Jim, we got to take a break here. Thanks for your phone call.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Hey, you got to take a quick break here before we go to our last segment. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Oh, good morning. You know what this is from? You think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right?
Oh, you know what? One of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Our guest is Cameron Middleton from the City Planning Commission, and we've been talking about any number of things, but let's go back in our last 5 minutes, and it's 8:55. And by the way, it's gone up 15 degrees since we started the show at 7 o'clock.
Going to be high today of 103, so get ready. Currently 84. The weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. 8:54. We just have about 5 minutes left.
Drink
our guest is Cameron Middleton, and we're talking about
Area down there. Well, we're talking about how we need to have a public planning commission or master plan, I should say, a public master plan where everybody in the city can discuss what's going to happen down in the Turtle Bay enclave down there where the Civic Center is, where you've got all different types of businesses down there. We need to plan this. Now, who should take the lead in this, Cameron?
I'd like to see the council take the lead. I think right now it's coming more from some members of some commissions, the Planning Commission. I know, again, I've spoken publicly about it at city council meetings, the Community Services Commission as well. But, you know, we'd like to include everybody in this. And I think by having, you know, there's a number of players. I think that the Rodeo Association should be absolutely involved.
Yeah.
Turtle Bay should be involved. There's a new group, Friends of the Civic Center, that should be involved.
Anybody that's got a dog in this fight needs to be there.
Absolutely.
And it can't be, first we're going to have these preliminary meetings before we have the big meetings. I mean, it's got to be open from the beginning, but there's got to be a decision-making process so that they just don't get wrapped around, let's give it to another committee, and 2 years down the line, the committees are still trying to get time on the calendar.
Absolutely, and the other portion of this, too, and as much as I'm advocating for this master plan, I actually spoke with a former mayor, I won't say which, last week, who brought up a very good point. He said, you know, Cameron, a master plan is only as good as it is followed by the current sitting city council. And he was very right. And so I would like to have something that has some teeth, has a little flexibility as well, so that there are some things and you can make some changes and some guidelines to work within and some parameters. But it's going to require some backing in order to be able to do this. But I think it's absolutely vital. There are just too many pieces to that puzzle down there, and they're not all going to fit properly. And for the betterment of the community, if we don't have some planning, don't have some vision.
It can't be just one entity that owns that whole area down there either, or owns it or leases it. Unless it's the good of the community and that the community receives a lot of benefit from it. I see where Turtle Bay provides a benefit to this community in the museum down there. I see that. I'm not sure what the hotel does except for the taxes it gets, because now since Turtle Bay is going to put a profit arm into their nonprofit organization, and did you hear that? They're putting a profit side into their nonprofit organization so they can take that money. So I have a slight problem with that, and then the next thing that they want to take. So it's got to be something for the people of the community and not just one entity.
Absolutely, and I think that's all, you know, personally that I'd be looking for is just to make sure that the citizens are able to have some input on everything going on down there, and that, again, I think we could really come up with a fabulous, fabulous campus. We already have some great things down there, and there's some good ideas for some more amenities. But we've got to plan it properly, and we need to take a look at it from an open, transparent point of view. And, I mean, I love Turtle Bay. I've been down there many, many times. I think it's a great museum, and want to see him succeed. And I think that if we do this properly and everything is set up well, it's going to benefit everybody on the campus.
Yeah. You know, Cameron, we'd like to really thank you for coming by today. You're always a great guest because you've got so much information from Planning Commission. You don't pull any punches. You let people know what's happening. And we love Cameron's
enthusiasm. Yeah. In fact, there's been emails saying, thanks, you go, Cameron. Thank you. This needs to be heard. You're a great voice to bring in. You're on the Planning Commission. We love your youthful energy. Like, again, born and raised here, know so many people, and you're putting your money where your mouth is, just really getting involved with your business. And, again, like being on the Planning Commission, because our futures are entwined, and it's really important about how things come down here.
Absolutely. Hey, Dennis Miller's guest next hour is going to be Tucker Carlson. He won't be half as exciting as Cameron Middleton's been. Tomorrow we're going to have the California Veterans Undersecretary. We'll give a call in tomorrow at 8. And now on Wednesday you need to be here, my friends. Also, Roger Yeager, who is the Trinity County Supervisor, is going to be talking about what's going on up there. What's going on up in Trinity County around Hay Fork and the marijuana wars. And you can call it anything you want, but it's when you have gunfire and people terrified, starting to get close to a war. And also, Dr. Nancy Eklund is going to be here to talk to us about
Dancing with the Stars.
We got a full week.
And also, Carl and Maria will be here as well on Thursday.
Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Wedding.